Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
Location, location, location. You've heard it a million times, but what does it actually mean when you're investing in a syndication? I'm CREI Colin, and this is Building Passive Income, where we give you the strategies to build real wealth through passive real estate investing. Today, we're talking about market evaluation. Population growth, job growth, economic diversification, landlord-tenant laws. These aren't just buzzwords. They're the fundamentals that determine whether a market will outperform or underperform over the next 5 to 10 years. So let's break down the framework I use to evaluate a market before I invest a single dollar. When I'm evaluating a market, I start with population growth. This is the single most important indicator of long-term demand. If people are moving into a market, that creates demand for housing. If people are leaving, that's a red flag. Here's what I look for. I want to see consistent population growth over the past 5 to 10 years. Not just one or two good years, consistent growth. I'm looking at census data, migration patterns, and year-over-year trends. For example, markets like Austin, Dallas, Phoenix, and Tampa have seen strong population growth for years. People are moving there for jobs, lifestyle, affordability, and tax benefits. That sustained inflow of residents creates demand for multifamily housing. On the flip side, if I see a market with flat or declining population, that's a warning sign. It doesn't mean you can't invest there, but it means you need to understand why people are leaving and whether that trend is likely to reverse. Now, population growth alone isn't enough. You also need to understand why people are moving to a market. And that brings us to job growth. Job growth is the engine that drives population growth. People move to where the jobs are. So when I'm evaluating a market, I want to see strong job growth, ideally outpacing the national average. But here's the key. I don't just look at total job growth. I look at the types of jobs being created. Are they high-paying jobs in tech, healthcare, finance, and professional services? Or are they lower-wage jobs in retail and hospitality? High-paying jobs create demand for quality housing and drive rent growth. They also make a market more resilient during economic downturns. I also look at economic diversification. Is the market dependent on one or two major employers, or does it have a diversified economy with multiple industries? For example, Houston has a strong energy sector, but it's also diversified with healthcare, aerospace, and logistics. That diversification makes it more resilient. On the other hand, if a market is heavily dependent on one industry, like automotive in Detroit historically, that's a risk. If that industry struggles, the entire market can suffer. So when you're evaluating a market, ask yourself, what industries are driving job growth? Are they diversified? And are they creating high-paying jobs? Now let's talk about supply and demand. This is economics 101, but it's critical in real estate. When I'm evaluating a market, I want to see strong demand, driven by population and job growth. But I also want to understand the supply side. How much new construction is happening? Are developers overbuilding? If a market has strong fundamentals but too much new supply coming online, that can suppress rent growth and hurt returns. You want to find markets where demand is outpacing supply or where supply is constrained by land availability, zoning restrictions, or other factors. For example, Markets in California like San Francisco and Los Angeles have strong demand but very limited supply due to geographic constraints and strict zoning laws. That creates upward pressure on rents. On the flip side, markets like Charlotte and Nashville have seen a lot of new construction in recent years. That doesn't make them bad markets, but it means you need to be selective about which submarkets and properties you invest in. So when you're evaluating a market, look at the supply pipeline. How many units are under construction? What's the absorption rate? And how does that compare to demand? Here's something a lot of investors overlook: landlord-tenant laws. These vary significantly from state to state, and they can have a huge impact on your returns. Some states are very landlord-friendly. For example, Texas, Florida, and Georgia have laws that make it relatively easy to evict non-paying tenants and recover unpaid rent. That reduces risk and protects your cash flow. Other states are more tenant-friendly. California, New York, and Oregon have strict rent control laws, longer eviction timelines, and more tenant protections. That increases risk and can hurt returns. Now, I'm not saying you should never invest in tenant-friendly states, but you need to understand the laws and factor them into your risk assessment. If a sponsor is underwriting a deal in California with aggressive rent growth projections, you need to ask, are those projections realistic given rent control laws? So when you're evaluating a market, research the landlord-tenant laws. Talk to sponsors who operate in that market, and make sure you're comfortable with the regulatory environment. Another factor I look at is infrastructure and development. Is the market investing in infrastructure? Are there new highways, airports, transit systems, or commercial developments being built? Infrastructure investments are a leading indicator of future growth. They attract businesses, create jobs, and make a market more livable. For example, when a city invests in a new light rail system or expands its airport, that's a signal that the market is positioning itself for growth. I also look at corporate relocations and headquarters. When a major company like Tesla, Oracle, or Amazon announces a headquarters or major office expansion in a market, that's a huge catalyst. It brings high-paying jobs, attracts other businesses, and drives demand for housing. So when you're evaluating a market, pay attention to infrastructure projects and corporate announcements. These are often early signals of future growth. Now let's talk about primary, secondary, and tertiary markets. Understanding the difference is critical because each has different risk and return profiles. Primary markets are major metros like New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Chicago. These markets have large populations, diversified economies, and strong job growth. They're generally more stable and less volatile, but they also have lower cash flow and higher prices. Cap rates are compressed, and it's harder to find value-add opportunities. Secondary markets are mid-sized metros like Austin, Dallas, Phoenix, and Tampa. These markets have strong fundamentals, growing populations, and more affordable price points. They offer a balance of stability and growth, with better cash flow and more value-add opportunities. This is where I focus most of my investments. Tertiary markets are smaller metros and suburbs. These markets can offer higher cash flow and lower prices, but they're also more volatile and riskier. They're more dependent on a single employer or industry, and they're more susceptible to economic downturns. So when you're evaluating a market, ask yourself, is this a primary, secondary, or tertiary market? And does that align with my risk tolerance and return expectations? All right, let's bring it all together with a real-world example. Let's say you're evaluating two markets, Market A and Market B. Market A has strong population growth, 2% per year for the past 5 years. Job growth is outpacing the national average, and the economy is diversified across tech, healthcare, and finance. The supply pipeline is moderate, some new construction, but not excessive. Landlord-tenant laws are favorable, and the city just announced a major infrastructure project. This is a secondary market with strong fundamentals. Market B has flat population growth over the past 5 years. Job growth is below the national average, and the economy is heavily dependent on one industry. The supply pipeline is high, lots of new construction coming online. Landlord-tenant laws are tenant-friendly with rent control, and there are no major infrastructure projects on the horizon. This is a tertiary market with weaker fundamentals. Which market would you invest in? For me, it's Market A all day. The fundamentals are strong, the risk is lower, and the growth trajectory is clear. Now, that doesn't mean Market B is uninvestable. Maybe there's a value-add opportunity with a strong sponsor who has a track record in that market. But you need to understand the risks and adjust your expectations accordingly. All right, let's recap. When you're evaluating a market, here's the framework. 1. Population growth. Look for consistent growth over 5 to 10 years. People moving in creates demand. 2. Job growth and economic diversification. High-paying jobs in diversified industries drive rent growth and resilience. 3. Supply and demand dynamics. Strong demand is great, but watch out for overbuilding. 4. Landlord-tenant laws. Landlord-friendly states reduce risk and protect cash flow. 5. Infrastructure and development. New projects and corporate relocations are leading indicators of growth. 6. Primary, secondary, or tertiary. Know the risk and return profile of the market type. Here's your action step. Pick 3 markets you're interested in. Run them through this framework. Look up the data on population growth, job growth, supply pipeline, and landlord-tenant laws. Compare them side by side. Which one has the best fundamentals? That's where you start your sponsor search. And as always, consult with your CPA, attorney, and financial advisor before making any investment or tax decisions. If you're ready to start evaluating markets and building a diversified passive income portfolio, let's talk. Check the show notes for a link to schedule a call with us at CREIpartners.com. Next time on Building Passive Income, we're diving into cost segregation and bonus depreciation, two of the most powerful tax strategies in real estate investing. Until then, remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with investing in the right markets. I'm CREI Colin. Let's build wealth together.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free passive investor coaching program at passiveinvestorcoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.